Please, to Matthew chapter 7. In verse number 16. I believe this is a scriptural principle here. It's not just about one thing. I believe it's a principle that you and I ought to live by and understand as we examine things and we look at different things in our lives. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree which bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, I think you can examine this in a lot of different areas, false prophets, other things like that, by the fruit of their ministry, by the fruit of what happens and what the Lord does. That fruit doesn't always mean massive numbers of people or anything like that. It means just the truth and how it bears witness in the lives of the people as well, and the growth that they have and what God does in their lives. But also in this case, we're going to look at this for the music called rock music. Now, when I say rock music, like I said, the first hour, that's rock, rap, hip hop. That's all of that music. That's that genre of music that is there. What we said earlier in the first hour, we talked about the goals of this and why we're preaching about this and what we need to look at, what the Bible says clearly about this. I told you about the first, what I believe is the first rock concert, or a picture of the first rock concert back in Exodus, the book of Exodus, and how they, what accompanied that, the wickedness, the lewdness, the nudity that was a part of that, the sensual dancing that was a part of that, and the fornication and other things that it led to. That's a part of the rock and roll music. There's a religion to rock and roll. We're going to talk about that the next hour. There's a religion that they follow and that they believe. And music is not immoral like some people try to say it is. Satanists will tell you that music is not immoral. They know that. They know that it has, they don't believe that one bit. And neither should God's people believe that. But in order to understand this, we've got to uncover some kind of ugly things and talk about a few things. But the reason I want to give, I want to bring this to you in this fashion is that, you know, I can, which we did the last hour, give you a whole chapter for the scripture and other things on that. And I will give you more scripture in this. But a lot of what I'm going to do is give you the testimony of their own people, the people that sing rock and roll music, rap artists, all the, what they say they're doing. What they say that their goal is, what their plan is, and how it all developed and everything like that. I want to give you that because, you know, a lot of times, people won't believe just what, oh, you're just a preacher and you're zealous for the Lord and you just look at it a different way. No, I want you to understand how they look at it, what they are saying the truth is, what their goals are, what their motives are, what it means, what the name even means. We're going to start with that, what that even means. Where it comes from. Where did the name rock and roll originate? Well, you can go on Wikipedia, you can go on a few different places that will tell you, any rock history book will tell you this, but the phrase rocking and rolling originally described the movement of a ship on an ocean, but was used by the early 20th century both to describe the spiritual fervor of black church rituals. Now pay attention to that, because that's going to matter. I told you about Egypt, how that, when Israel left Egypt, when they made the calf, when Moses was on the mount, they made the calf, they were worshiping that after the same fashion and playing the same music that they had learned in Egypt. In Egypt, they're Hamites. That's where that comes from. Now that matters even in this hour when we explain this, and also in the future, that where this music originated from, where it comes from. Where its genre comes from, what they believe it's for, what it is for, what it was used for. Anyway, but it was used in black church rituals and as a sexual analogy. That's how it was used. Various gospel, blues, and swing recordings used the phrase before it became used more frequently, but still intermittently. By the 1920s, rocking and rolling became a popular double entendre referring to either dancing or fornication. I'm using fornication because I don't really want to use that word all the time, so I'm just going to use that one. Anyway, by 1922, the blues ballad, My Man Rocks Me With One Steady Roll, may be the first use of the phrase in a song. I'm not going to explain that. You can understand that. That's what it's for. The disc jockey, Alan Freed, he understood that. I mean, he was just, what Alan Freed did was, and I'm not really going to talk about the method of how this all became so popular, but I will touch on it right here a little bit. Alan Freed understood that he could take black, what they deemed as black music, jazz, blues, that sort of thing, and he was used to broadcast it to white suburban kids. Now see, I grew up in a time where rap music was popular. I listened to a lot of it. I listened to all of it, pretty much. I grew up in that time. And rap artists and the industry said this, and I remember seeing this, if it wasn't for white suburban kids, we would be broke. Because white suburban kids supported the rap industry. They were the ones they marketed to. They're the ones that bought the middle America. They're the ones that bought everything. So anyway, so understand that's kind of where that goes. Anyway, Alan Freed, the disc jockey from Cleveland, Ohio, he used that phrase, the rock and roll session, to describe the amalgamation, I always get that word wrong, excuse me, of rhythm and blues and country music he played during his show. As his radio show gained popularity, so too did the phrase. So literally the name meant the same as fornication. That's what it meant. That's what they sang about in all their songs. That was the goal of it. Now, I'll give you some quotes here of what these people believe and what they said. This quote is from the Twisted Rock, Roots of Rock and Roll. What made rockabilly, Elvis Presley, Bill Haley such a drastically new music was its spirit. Now, this sermon is titled The Spirit Behind Rock and Roll Music. Now notice, he said, this is what they said, the spirit. A thing that bordered on mania. Elvis's Good Rockin' Tonight was not merely a party song, but an invitation to a holocaust. Rockabilly was the face of Dionysus full of febrile fornication and senselessness. It flushed the skin of new housewives and made pink teenage boys reinvent themselves as flaming creatures. What is he saying? Well, if you know anything about Dionysian cults, you'll understand the music, the fornication, just like you've seen in Exodus that we just looked at, just like you've seen that, that's the same thing that goes along with it. That was the spirit that it brought. From their words. The new left spring from Elvis's gyrating pelvis, Elvis Presley ripped off the Eisenhower by turning our uptight, young, awakening bodies around. With hard rock energy, beats surged hot through us, the driving rhythm arousing repressed passions. Music to free the spirit. Elvis told us just to let go. Now you're going to see this prevailing theme. Just do it. Do what you want. Do what thou wilt. You're going to see that theme all the way through because that's exactly what rock music, rap music, that's what they always say. That is the theme throughout the whole thing to do that. Elvis Presley was one of the few people in our lifetime who changed things. You might hear music in elevators, but so what? Elvis changed our hairstyles, dress styles, our attitudes towards fornication and all the musical tastes. Said Elvis changed everything. They took a culture that was biblically based with Christian origin. They changed they single-handedly with music and with Elvis and with everything. They changed the direction. They changed the standard. They influenced them away from the truth. Now, number one, rock music has a spirit, and the spirit is fornication behind it. I'll give you some of their quotes, though. Rock is the total celebration of the physical, said Ted Nugent in 1977, Rolling Stones. Rock and roll is 99% sex, said John Oates of the rock duo Hall & Oates, 1976. Do you understand that they're not hiding it? They're telling you what it is. They're not shy to tell you the truth. They'll tell you what they stand for and what they believe. So why do God's people want to listen to anything that is remarkably aligned with that? All right. The main ingredient in rock, the main ingredients in rock are, you guessed it, that three-letter word in SASS. Deborah Harry, September 1979. Pop music revolves around sexuality. I believe that if there's an anarchy, let's make it a sexual anarchy rather than political. Adam Ant from Rock and Roll. They're not shy about it. Do you understand why so many people get caught up into fornication and so many people that listen and go along with this group and go along with this same music all the time? This is what they do. This is why. This music pushes it. We see that in Exodus, what we just seen. That music and that style, it pushes it. That's the spirit behind it, is a spirit of fornication. The Rolling Stone, in Rolling Stones, Andrew Rowland, manager of the Rolling Stones, says rock music is sex and you have to hit them, the teenagers, in the face with it. They wanted to cause the children to rebel against their parents and listen to this music and follow their theology or their religion, what they believe. And that religion is a religion of fornication. It's a cult. That's what it is. And by the way, let me tell you, it worked. It worked. Again, another quote, rock and roll is all, you guessed it, that three-letter word, 100% of it. At the very least, rock is turning sex into something casual. Rock and roll is synonymous with that, and you can't take that away from it, said Steven Tyler of Aerosmith. You can't take it away from it. They said you can't separate that from what rock and roll is. Why? Because it's a spirit of fornication. That's exactly what it is. We see that root of it in the Bible. We see the same thing. That's the push. Always the physical. Always the physical. That's the goal of it. Ted Nugent said this, rock is the perfect primal method of releasing our violent instincts. They're not shy about telling you that. That's what they believe. Because it's true. It is. When you understand their religion, which we'll talk about the next hour, you'll understand why that's true. Makes sense? It's always been that way. Lita Ford said this, listen, rock and roll ain't church. It's nasty business. You gotta be nasty too. If you're a goody-goody, you can't sing or play it. John Cougar Mellencamp said this, sex, violence, rebellion, it's all part of rock and roll. It's all part of it. Number two, rock music has a spirit of rebellion behind it. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23, the Bible says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. Rock music is about rebellion to authority. It's about rebellion to God Almighty. That's what it's about. It's rebellion to Christian principles by their own words. It's anarchy. It's Antichrist. Just like we saw in Exodus, what were they doing? They were rebelling against God. Moses was on the mount. They were down there with the calf. They were singing. They were dancing. They were fornicating. They were nude. Moses was up there with the Lord. Moses came down and God said they had rebelled against me. Same principle. Not changed a bit. Same thing. What is the prevailing theme of rock and roll music? Do what you want to do. Rap music, same thing. Do what you want to do. You got to go where you want to go. You got to do what you want to do. Mamas and Papas, 1965. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Isley Brothers, 1969. The whole Beatles idea was to do what you want. Do what thou willst, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, said John Lennon. Just do whatever you want. By the way, Lennon was a Satanist. The whole idea of rock and roll is to offend your parents. Rock drummer, King Coffee. The truth about rock. Rock and roll, if not actually inventing the teenager, this is what's interesting. You don't find teenager in the Bible. Where did it come from? Pop culture. Pop culture invented it. You don't find it in the Bible anywhere. It's not in the Word of God. You know, I might surprise you with something here. But nowhere in the Bible does it say when your child automatically turns 18, they can rebel against you and do what they want to and leave your home and go and do whatever they want to. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible doesn't say that when you turn 18 years old, well, you can just leave, you can do what you want, because the government says you're of age. I don't care what the government says. That has nothing to do with the Word of God. You can't show me anything in the Bible that your rebellion is okay. When you turn 18, you can go out and do whatever you want to do. You can disobey your parents. You can disobey their wishes. You go do where you see that in the Bible at all. When you turn 18, you can do that. What I see in the Bible is a child, a father, or a daughter or a son leaves when they get married. I don't see anything else. Sorry, it ain't there. Now, we can't change anything now after years have gone by. My point is that for the next generation, we need to understand that there's nothing in the Bible that says that. What have we taken on, American pop culture? That's what we've taken on. They've preached it. They've gotten it down to a narrow group and said, well, this group right here is the one we're going to go after right here. Why? Because that's when they're most impressionable right there. We'll take that group and we'll do what we want to with them. We'll pervert them. It's exactly what rock and roll music, rap, that's what it's done. Why? What's their theme? Do what you want to do. Rock and roll is not actually inventing the teenagers. Split the pop followers into the under 20s and the rest. Bob Dobbarn, Melody Maker, February 10th, 1968. The spirit behind rock and roll is a spirit of rebellion. Rebellion to authority. Rebellion to any and all authority. That's what rock preached. Why do you think Ed Sullivan and those others wouldn't show Elvis from the waist down at first? Or from the waist up, they wouldn't show what he was doing on TV because of the moves that he was doing. Because they knew that there'd be a public outcry. Eventually they just did. But at the beginning they wouldn't do it. Why? Because they knew there'd be a public outcry of it. What are you doing? You can't do that. That's wicked. See, the devil's subtle. The devil's real subtle. What is this rebellion? Out of chaos comes order. A new order. Just like your dollar bill reads, a new order, right on the back of it. Out of chaos comes order. That was what Aleister Crowley said. We'll talk about him the next hour. Just like what was planned long ago, that rebellion. Rock music has got the same message as before. It is anti-religious, anti-nationalistic, and anti-morality. But now I understand what you have to do. You have to put the message across with a little honey on it. John Lennon, spoken not long before his death in 1980, pop goes the gospel. By the way, the Beatles' whole goal was to destroy Christianity. But they're not the only ones that had that goal. That's the goal of most of them. By their own words, you'll see. Satan knows music best. He knows music better than anyone. He should. He played it in heaven. He was the musical instrument in heaven. Tabrets and pipes. That's how he's made. The day of his beauty. The day that he was created. Rock radicalized teenagers because it estranges them from the traditional values which they no longer see relevant. By the way, that whole pop culture comes from music. The whole thing comes from it. What you see on television, the words that are used, the movies, the television programs, all of it is driven by that same music. Every commercial has music like that, or most of them. Unless they're trying to make a different point, but most of the time, that's what's in there. You're bombarded with this music all the time. Why? Because it has a message, that's why. And the message is rebellion. It's always been rebellion. I would love to see somebody with a straight face look at me and tell me that they believe the fruit of rock and roll music has been good in this country. Look at what it's brought. Rebellion. Wickedness. Fornication. Rock music has always held seeds of the forbidden. Rock and roll has long been an adversary to many of the basic tenets of Christianity. Michael Moynihan, Lords of Chaos. Rock and roll challenged the dominant norms and values with a genuine Dionysian fervor. Listen to this. They're telling you what their god is. Compared to an ancient Dionysian revel, trances, seizures, devotees tearing sacrificial animals to pieces with their bare hands and eating the meat raw, a rock and roll performance is almost tame. We must never forget our glorious Dionysian heritage. Rock and roll and unruly history. By the way, that's not a Christian that said that. That's a rock artist that said that, that quotes in this book. They're telling you what their traditions are, what their God comes from, what they believe, what they preach, what they follow. The Bill Haley song Rock the Joint encourages young people to throw off all restraints. It was a song about having such a good time that nothing mattered. We're going to tear down the mailboxes, rip up the floor, smash out the windows, and knock out the door. Listen, I don't have time to listen, but there's thousands of these that I could give you. Thousands of them in quotes of what they believe. One can listen to their words alone in some of the songs and you will see what they want to do, what they believe, what's in their heart. It has a spirit of rebellion. It has a spirit of fornication. It did nothing good for America but ruin it and destroy a Christian culture in America. And it wasn't enough that they could destroy a Christian culture in America. They had to go after the church next with contemporary Christian music. We don't have time to get into that today, but we will get into that sometime. Number three, rock music has a hypnotic spirit. And these rock stars, they believe this because they know it to be true. Because if you understand the occult and you understand what their ceremonies are like and what they use and what witches use, they use music. That's what they use. Atmospheres are going to come through music because the music is a spiritual thing of its own. You hypnotize people to where they go right back to their natural state, which is pure positive, the subconscious, that we want to say, people won't release any kind of way nowadays. The idea is to release in the proper form. Then they'll feel like going into another world. They feel like going into another world, a clearer world. The music flows from the air. That's why I connect with the spirit. And when they come down off this natural high, they see clearer, feel different things. Jimi Hendrix. He knew they invoked spirits. He knew that they went to different spiritual heights through drugs and music. He didn't deny it. Woodstock and the rebellion that went on there and what that was and what that stood for. Free love, where all these rock musicians were around and everybody's walking around nude and what they were in the wickedness and the lewdness. What was that? Nothing more than you've seen in Exodus. The same thing you've seen when Moses came off the mountain, what Moses saw. Looked down and saw all that. That's the same thing that happened at Woodstock. Remember, there's 2 million people down at the foot of that mountain down there when Moses walked down there. There were 2 million Israelites. So he's up on the mountain looking down. There's a whole bunch of people that are all naked, running around dancing and listening to wicked music and doing the most wicked, heinous things possible. It's the same music. What happened to them? Well, they were worshiping another god and they were up into a different spirit. See, maybe some of you haven't had any experience with that type of wicked stuff, and I'm glad. I hope you don't. But you better understand, that spirit world is real. The devil is real. His power is real. Some people dismiss it. Heavy rock is body music designed to bypass your brain and with an unrelenting brutality induce a frenzied state amongst the audience. Dave Roberts, columnist, Christian Rock Magazine in Britain. April 1982. Well, he's not lying. Don't listen to the words. It's the music that has its own message. I've been stoned on the music many times. Timothy Leary, New Age guru and promoter of LSD. Well, that's true. When I show you the next hour, the voodoo religion of rock and roll music, that it comes straight from voodoo, you'll see that's exactly what they... That's exactly what they did. They didn't have words. They just had beats. They listened to music. And they conjured up spirits. By the way, Satan's not as sleepy as most Christians are. So if you understand that. You think he's sleeping. He's not sleeping. He's always working. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to take down your testimony. That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to pervert your family and he wants to destroy it. Amen. He's always at work. He's a roaring lion. I take each individual degenerate's head and reach into it just to see if he's influenced by me, if he listens to music, and if he feeds into this. He's an innocent victim and becomes a puppet on a string. That's what Eminem said. They admit that the music, the hypnotic control that music can have over people, they admit it, they understand it. Tori Amos, who said that Lucifer sits at her piano and helps her with her music, said that music is the most powerful medium in the world because of the frequencies. You're hitting places in people that remind them that they are more than just this functional being. I mean, she said, she gives testimony, she says Satan sits right at her piano and gives her music. By the way, let's say she's lying. Why would you want anything to do with anything that she has anyway? If these people are all lying and they're really not devil-possessed, why would you want to be around them anyway? Why would you want to listen to their music anyway? Why would you want any of that near you? Rock music is as much a deconditioner as a psychedelic drugs. It is designed to blow your mind and suspend your conditioned reflexes. Listening to a Beatles album is an hour of deconditioning. Timothy Leary. I mean, they said the Beatles' whole goal, we're going to destroy Christianity, so we're going to destroy it. Then they come out and they've got a lot of heat, and they came out and they said, oh, we don't really want to destroy it. Oh, really? Then why do you have Aleister Crowley on the cover of your album? As people who most influenced you in the world, and Aleister Crowley is sitting in the corner on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart. Well, why would you put him there? But you know what? There's a group of Christians that actually were dumb enough to believe that John Lennon got saved. Wow. He never left his spiritism. Never. Wow. Unbelievable. Music works in mysterious ways. Once it goes in the ear, you really have no say about what it does to you. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. He's right. Look what the Israelites were led to do with music. God had just delivered them out of the hand of bondage. God had brought them out, and what's the first thing they did when Moses was out of their sight? They made a god, they started playing music, and they started dancing. And Joshua said there's war, noise of war in the camp. He said, no, that's not war, they're singing. They're just having a rock concert, that's all. It's not a war. But hey, they tried to do the whole Christian thing. They said, well, we'll also worship God here. We'll do that too. So we'll take these beats and we'll worship God with them. We'll just add it in. What happened? A lot of people died. That's what happened. A lot of people were killed. That's exactly what happened. Isn't that what Nebuchadnezzar did with his hypnotic music that he played? When you hear the music, you fall down and worship the image. Why? Whips people up into a hypnotic frenzy, the type of music that he was playing. Music is used for that, folks. I hope you understand. I mean, great that you've never heard it. Great that you never had to be a part of it. But you understand one thing. Witches, warlocks, wizards, occultists, they all understand what magic is, or music is used for. They all understand it, and they practice it. And so are most churches today with their CCM contemporary music. They're practicing the same thing. They're just adding different words to it. Oh, well, the beats don't matter. It's just the words. Okay. We'll show you why that matters in a second. Janis Joplin, who died young from the rock and roll lifestyle, describes her first big concert in these words. I couldn't believe it. All that rhythm and power. I got stoned just feeling it, like it was the best dope in the world. It was so sensual, so vibrant, loud, and crazy. Their testimony is pretty powerful of what rock music does. A rock concert is, in fact, a rite involving an evocation and transmutation of energy. Evoking and transmitting of energy. Transmutation of energy. Rock stars may be compared to priests. For such magic to succeed, it must tap the sources of magical energy, and this can be dangerous. William Burroughs, Rock Music, June 1975. World-renowned musicologist David Tame has said music is the language of languages. Tame went on to declare it can be said of all the arts, there is none that more powerfully moves and changes the consciousness. Medical doctor and brain specialist Richard Pellegrino, who is a consultant to the entertainment industry, wrote an article for Billboard magazine about the power of music. Dr. Pellegrino speaks of the incomparable power of music upon the human brain, stating that music has the uncanny power to trigger a flood of human emotions and images that have the ability to instantaneously produce very powerful changes in emotional states. Pellegrino went on to declare, "Take it from the brain guy. In 25 years of work with the brain, I still cannot affect a person's state of mind the way that one simple song can." That's not an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. It's a doctor. Now, usually they pride themselves on how they can control people. He's saying, I can't even do that. I can't do what music can do. You think Nebuchadnezzar knew that? That's why he had the music playing? You think the whipped up frenzy that was going on and the fornication party that they were having down on the mount there when Moses came off the mount, you think they knew that? You think those devils and all those, you think they knew that music was gonna do something along with that? You think they knew that? Yeah, they did. You think rock concerts and raves? Yeah, why do you think it raves it? Boom, 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 and it doesn't stop. Mixed with the alcohol, mixed with the drugs, anything happens. And everything happens. Evil. It's just plain evil. That's all this is, evil. He goes on to say this, the ways in which sound affects the human, actually this is Zappa said this, the ways in which sound affects the human organism are myriad and subtle. The loud sounds and bright lights of today are tremendous indoctrination tools. Number four, rock and rap have a violent spirit. Eminem says, I think I was put here to destroy your little four-year-old boy or girl. You can try this at home. You can be just like me. Follow me and do exactly what the song says. Smoke weed, take pills, drop out of school, kill people and drink. Now follow me and do exactly what you see. Some of the new album lyrics are based on real experiences. Eminem says, while some are purely fictional and others are a combination of fact and fiction, he says many of his rhymes are intended to push listeners' buttons. By the way, don't you find it odd that every rap song is about fornication, calling a woman a female dog, abuse, violence, murder, rape, whatever, it's always about that. Every single one is about that. It's about something that is rebellious and violent against God. And violence has filled the earth today. Just like in the days of Noah, God said, and violence is filling the earth. How is it filled with it? Well, music is a good indication of it. Music is a good method that they're using for violence to fill the earth. Some of you that have been around and before you were saved and done some things, you understand the effects of music. You know that. Some of you young people better understand there is no mystery to it. It's not something to play with. It's not something to dabble with. It's devilish and satanic. It only leads to rebellion, wickedness, and eventually death. And a very hard life. And it's Antichrist. It's always been Antichrist. And the beat has always been Antichrist. Why do you think Joshua said it sounded like noise of war? Because those drums, boom, 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 all the beats and everything were going on. Why do you think he said, because it sounded like a war drums. It sounded like they were going to war. There was screaming and hollering and what's it sound like? Just a regular heavy metal or a rap concert where the bass is just booming all the time. It just sounded like that. That's what he thought, man, there's a war going on down there. No, there ain't no war. They're not being taken over by that. They've given themselves over to wickedness. In an interview with Eminem by MTV News, Eminem talked about how his wife, Kimberly Mathers, was sickened by the song Kim. He said, we were both sitting in the car, and Eminem said, and she just looked over at me and said, you don't have anything to say? She was like, you're crazy. So I think it disturbed her a little bit. She don't want to listen to the song, but you know, that was the way I felt at the time. That song was about him killing his wife. He wrote a song about him killing his wife, having his four-year-old child help push his mom over the water and kill his mom. That's what the whole thing was about. And I listened to it. I'm just telling you the truth. I bought it. Yep. I've been around this stuff, folks. I'm not preaching from no experience of dealing with anything. I bought the music industry. I bought the CDs and I ran around with people that did bad things. And I did those things. I'm not bragging about it. I hate it, the fact that I went through it. I'm just telling you, folks, that what these people masquerade as being good, it's satanic. It leads to wickedness. Nothing good ever came of it. I can't even read this song to you because it's so wicked. I can't even really get into it. Let me ask you a question. When you see the spirit that's mine, do you think God has anything to do with that? Why in the world would God's people want to listen to rock and roll music? Why wouldn't they want to stand and be separated from it? Why wouldn't they want to stand out and say, no, we don't listen to that? We don't listen to rap. We don't listen to rock. We don't want to be a part of any of that. Why? Because they hate God. That's why. They preach against my God. They preach against what we stand for. They preach against God's book. They preach against living a Christian life. They preach against authority and obeying and following your parents. Rock and roll music's whole design was to separate the youth from their parents. That's what the design of it was. That's the spirit behind it. To get you to rebel. You can do what you want to do. Just do what you want to do. Just do what you like. I can't tell you how many songs have you guys listened to in the past that listen to that music, and how many of those songs talk about doing what you want to do. I could name you 10 of them right now that talk about doing what you want to do. It's your body. You can do what you want to do. It's my party. I can do what I want to do. How does that have anything in it that glorifies God? First of all, if you're saved, you can't even rightly sing a song like that or listen to it because you're not your own. You're bought and paid for with a price. If you belong to God, you don't have a right to make any decision you want to make for yourself. For you're not your own, you're bought and paid for with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You think about that. Why would I want anything to do? It's not just the words, it's the beats, and we're going to get that the next hour. It's not just words that are being said. It's the beats that go right along with the words. But even they admit, Jimi Hendrix says, you just listen to the beats. That'll get you high enough. That's why? Well, it's voodoo, that's why. That's one of the reasons. I can prove that by what they say. But why would God's people have anything to do with it? You ask yourself that. Why? Why would we hold on to something? I'm not saying you do, but if you've got CDs in your house, if you've got those things in your house that have this music, I go look at all the lyrics. I guarantee you they preach rebellion, fornication, witchcraft, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. All those things. Preaches all those things. Guarantee it. That's exactly what they preach. That's their message. So why would Christians want to have that in their life? Why would they want to be a part of anything like that? When we're called to be separate, come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord God. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Why would you and I want to hold on to that music? I've heard people say, oh, well, Elvis, he wasn't that bad. Elvis was a Satanist. I had a guy get mad at me yesterday because I told him the truth. Elvis was an occultic Satanist. He followed Helena Blavatsky. Yeah, but he sang gospel music. Who cares?
Amen.
He was a Satanist.
Amen.
He can prove that by his own writings and what he said. He talked to, I'm going to, actually, we will. I will talk about him in the next hour. He was a Satanist. Do you know who Helena Blavatsky is? She's an occultist. She was a Mason. She followed in the spirit of Aleister Crowley, same stuff. He followed her. In fact, all of Elvis's library, most of the books that were in there were occultic books. that he read. Elvis Presley used to get on stage and he used to read from Helena Blavatsky. But yes, Elvis was saved. He just didn't like rules. No, Elvis went to hell. Elvis followed the occult. Elvis believed in the occult. He did not believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's another spirit. That rock and roll music is another spirit. It is not the same spirit that you find in this book. It is not the same spirit. It is a different spirit. It is another gospel. It is another spirit. And God's people, why would you want to be identified with anything like that? Why would you want to listen to their music and have yourself identified with them? Let me ask you, how can we be different if we're identified with pop culture? How can we be of any use to God if we're the same as they are? If we watch the same movies, if we listen to the same music, if we like the same artist, if we go about the same as they do, how can we be of any use to, what do you say to somebody? How are you any different than anybody else? You're not. Because they don't see a difference. Most of the time I find with music, here's what people say. Well, I like it. Who cares? Who cares if I like it? What's that have to do with anything? What has to do, what you and I are supposed to look for is what glorifies God. What brings honor and glory to His name? Because that's what I want to follow. Follow after righteousness and godliness. Why would I want to follow the world? Why would I want to be identified with them? Why would I want to identify with their rebellion, their fornication, their music? Here's a newsflash for you. If you and I are watching movies where there's songs in them that sing all this rebellion, then what are you telling your children? You're telling them, well, for entertainment's sake, it's okay to listen to this, but you shouldn't listen to it on the radio. But it's different when you listen to it in the movie. And we wonder why our children go running after rock and roll music and go running after rap and hip hop and another culture. Do we really wonder why when we send them a mixed message, when we watch films that have that music in it? We wonder why they rebel? Really? You have to wonder why? We honestly are that blind that we have to wonder why they rebel when we fed them rebellion? Say, no, I didn't do that. Yeah, you did. If you and I both played movies that have bad music in it. You tell me why in a simple movie like Cars, which I've already covered Disney, and they're wicked as the devil. But anyway, in a simple movie like Cars, kids program, why do they have to have a rock and roll rebellious soundtrack through the whole movie? Why? And what is that doing to that child that's listening to that music? Do you think it has no influence? Of course it does. They'll start singing it. You'll catch them singing it. You'll say, don't sing that! Don't do that! Why are you singing that? Well, because you played it for them, that's why. It's monkey see, monkey do. That's how it works. Kids are like recorders. They'll just record it, they'll play it back. Amen. So why would you and I want it? Why would we put that rebellion in them? Why do we send them a mixed message? Well, it's okay to watch this movie. Well, does it have bad music in it? Yeah, well, are they listening to that bad music? Yeah, but it's not, not listening to the music, they're watching the movie. No, they put that music in the movie because they know you're listening to it. Otherwise, they wouldn't put the music in it. It's not rocket science, because I wouldn't understand it, but I do understand that. Amen? I do understand that. That's really simple to understand, that they put the music in there so you listen to it. They want you to hear the music, that's why they put it in the movie. So what are they doing? They're sending you a different message. Is it a message that is in accordance with this Bible? Because I can show you in that simple little cartoon Cars where the songs are preaching rebellion. Just by the soundtrack where it preaches rebellion. Amen. So we either need to come out from among them and be separate. And I'll ask you the same question that I asked you in the first message. Who is on the Lord's side? That's the real crux of the decision. Not for you to answer me. You answer God. When it comes to rock music, it's culture. It's message. Whose side are you on? Moses asked the question when he saw the rock concert going on, when he saw the fornicating party and all the other things. He asked the question, who's on the Lord's side? I guess you're going to have to answer that. Who's on the Lord's side? Do I want to be a part of that music? Do I want that? Or am I on the Lord's side? Yeah, but I kind of like it. Yeah, again, that don't matter. What matters is if it's right or wrong. Right or wrong, that's what matters. Does it glorify God or not? Amen. That's the question. By the way, remember something. Satan was in charge of music. In heaven, he was the music. I mean, he's the instrument. That's the way he was made. And he rebelled against God. And musicians say and believe in automatic writing, where they put their pen down and a spirit gives them, a familiar spirit gives them the words to say, the lyrics to write, the beats to put together, whatever. A spirit gives them that. Well, what is that spirit? Is it God? Of course not. God doesn't work that way. So who is it then? It's the devil. And who taught rebellion against God? The devil.